Flash for Freedom by George MacDonald Fraser, read by Rupert Penry-Jones.
I believe it was that sight of that old fool Gladstone, standing in the pouring rain, holding his special constable's truncheon as though it were a bunch of lilies, and looking even more like an unemployed undertaker's mute than usual, that made me think seriously about going into politics. God knows I'm no Tory, and I never set eyes on a Whig yet without feeling the need of a bath, but I remember thinking as I looked at Gladstone, well, if that's one of the bright particular stars of English public life, Flashy, my boy, you ought to be at Westminster yourself. After all, they're a contemptible lot, and you'll agree that I had my full share of the character necessary in political life. I could lie with the best, give short change with a hearty clap on the shoulder, slip out from under, talk, toad ear, and turn tail as fast as a Yankee fakir selling patent pills. Mark you, I've never been given to interfering in other folks' affairs if I could help it, so I suppose that would have disqualified me. But for a little while, I did think hard about bribing my way to a seat, and the result of it was that I came within an ace of being publicly disgraced, shanghaied, sold as a slave, and God knows what besides. It was when I came home from Germany, in the spring of 48, after my skirmish with Otto Bismarck and Lola Montez. I was in a damn bad shape, and one jump ahead of half the monarchs and statesmen in Europe. The popular rebellion I'd seen in Munich was only one of a dozen that broke out that spring, and all the fellows who'd lost their thrones seemed to have decided that old England was the safest place. The joke was that it looked touch and go whether England didn't have a revolution of her own. That crabbed old Scotch miser, Morrison, my abominable father-in-law, poured out his fears to me on my first evening home. "It's they bloody Chartists," cries he. "The damned mob is loose about the town, or soon will be. It's no enough their tin hoor's bill. They want to slake their vengeance on honest folk as well. Burn them all, the wicked rascals. And what does the government do, will you tell me? Nothing. With rebellion in our midst and the French chapping at our doors, oh God, if we hadn't tribulation enough, we Elspeth in her condition."
For my beautiful Elspeth, after 8 years of wedded bliss, had conceived at last. But what concerned me was the identity of the father. I knew my darling Featherhead for the trollop she was, though you'd never have thought it to look at her beguiling innocence. Mind you, I might have pupped her myself before I went to Germany, but if she gave birth to something with red hair and a pug nose, there was liable to be talk. And God knows what might come of that. You see, old Morrison was as rich as an Amsterdam Jew, and had been keeping me and my governor while he used our house and got what credit he could out of being related to the Flashman family. But he could kick me out if he chose, and would do like a shot the moment Elspeth decided she'd had enough of me. So it was a cheerless homecoming. Elspeth seemed pleased enough to see me all right, but when I tried to bundle her into bed, she would have none of it, in case the child was harmed. "He shall be Harry Albert Victor," says she, holding my hand and gazing at me with those imbecile blue eyes which never lost their power, somehow, to make my heart squeeze up inside me. "After you, my dearest love, and our dear, dear queen, and her dearest love. Would you approve, my darling?"
"Capital choice," says I. "Couldn't be better."
Not unless, I thought, you called him Tom, or Dick, or William, or whatever the fellow's name was who was in the hay with you.
"You make me so happy, Harry," says she.
And you know, I believed it. She was like that, you see. As immoral as I was, but without my intelligence. She leaned up and kissed me, and the smell and feel of her blonde plumpness set me off, and I made a grab at her tits, but she pushed me away again.
"We must be patient, my own," says she. "We must think only of dear Harry Albert Victor."
That, by the way, is what he's called. The bastard's a bishop, too. I can't believe he's mine.